This is the Career Brand Story podcast, where we talk about your career, your brand, and your story, and a whole lot more. We've been on a journey helping 3,000 plus people thrive in their life and do more with what they love. You can follow us on all of our socials at Career Brand Story. I'm Jeremy Todd, career strategist and creator founder of Career Brand Story. And Jeb Graff, creative consultant, commercial photographer, producer, and co-host is with me. Hello, Jeb.
Hey, I see we still have the long list of titles.
You haven't edited it, so that's what's going to stay there until you
decide. Oh, you want me to edit it. All right. I feel like this is going to be a feisty episode. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, fair is fair. Fair is fair. You have access to the script. You could edit it. We'll call you whatever you want us to call you, you know. I will call you friend.
I appreciate that, friend. Never mind. Yeah, I appreciate you, friend.
Yeah. I appreciate that we're doing this today. I was just telling you before we got on here live that I had a little bit of surgery yesterday. And I'm sitting up straight because where I had surgery was on the back of my neck. So I've got to feel Yikes. Like if I keep the right posture, it keeps the pain away. So, but I'm doing good otherwise.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Not that you asked. I'm just telling you I'm doing good.
You know, I didn't ask. But I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you so much. And how are you feeling? I know you've been kind of under the weather here a little bit. Are you feeling better?
I feel a lot better, though. I don't know if I mentioned on the last episode or not, but I had the shingles, and it's been a long recovery. And I'll think that everything's good, and then all of a sudden I'll feel all this pain. But fortunately, some of it has switched from like pain to kind of a tickling feeling. So it's actually kind of nice.
You like giggling through the day?
Yeah. I'm like,
oh man. Well, that's a positive outcome, I guess, if you're going to have the shingles.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, in today's show, we're going to talk about the current job markets that came out at the end of November. I want to talk about some career marketing and some simple ideas actually to give you, listener, to help you market yourself in today's job market. And then I got this segment where I just want to talk about something that I just find absolutely absurd. And we're also going to talk to a guest, Lee Pittman. And I want to welcome Lee right now. He's going to share his journey to land the next right job. Lee recently landed his next right job as a marketing development manager at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Prior to this, Lee's experience was in account management and healthcare, where he excelled in building relationships with clients and improving customer service and exceeding performance metrics. Lee, thanks for joining us today to share your story. Why don't you just start off and tell us a little bit more about how you ended up where you are today.
Hi, pleased to be here. Thank you for having me on. I've had a broad journey in life personally and professionally. Worked in logistics, IT, sales, account management, and technology implementation, but always had a passion for advancing the use of new technology. And this is something I fairly recently discovered, I would say in the last year or so. And it's allowed me to finally specialize in something. Whereas, as I mentioned before, I kind of had a pretty broad experience in the work environment. So that's what's led me to the business development team here at Vanderbilt.
That's really exciting. And I think you just started that role, 2 weeks ago? Is that right?
Yep, this is my third week.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about it? You're starting your third week. Are you still feeling good? Like, yeah, this was the next right job, I hope.
Absolutely. And really what it was, the environment, the name speaks for itself, but the team, really, I can't speak highly enough of the way that they've welcomed me and just really helped with the onboarding process, really smooth, and couldn't ask for more.
So Lee, I know that we started first engaging together and getting to know one another because you leverage the services here at Career Brand Story. So I'm just curious, you know, what made you even decide, hey, I might need some help marketing myself in my career?
Yeah, I was stuck. No lie about it. As we all know, the job hunt process can be overwhelming. And I was lacking consistency, I would say, in terms of just a branding I knew I had a lot to offer, but never really saw myself as a brand, which I think you really revealed that to me. In today's environment, it's so much more competitive. It's so much more saturated with viable candidates, good candidates, great ones, and you're competing nationally. You're not just competing regionally. So all that to say, I knew I needed some professional intervention.
Yeah. And I know one of the things that I said to you, like when we completed like your marketing documents was, and I say this a lot to all the clients, I'm like, now go put this out in the market and test it. And if it's not working, you know, bring it back to me and let's talk about it. And you did, you're like, you called me and said, hey, can we talk more about this? And it wasn't really us talking through what we did with the marketing documents at that point, as much as it was talking about your marketing strategy. So what happened after kind of that first moment you call back and you're like, okay, now what happened there for you?
Yeah, well, nothing significant in a career happens overnight. And just getting in touch with you after you basically worked with me, there was a lot more traction on LinkedIn. I was getting more page hits, more views on applications, things that you could quantify. But I wasn't eclipsing that to the next level where I thought, you know, oh, this would just overnight, this would transform my process, you know. So I felt a little surprised that it didn't happen overnight. But when I talked to you, you were just saying, hey, you're doing the right thing. Just keep at it. And, you know, actually, uniquely, my situation was, you know, around the holidays. And you kind of reassured me, hey, companies, this is kind of a slow period where a lot of hiring kind of comes to a halt around that time, and don't take it personally, just keep at it.
Yeah. And how long do you remember from start to when you started this job, how long your job search was?
This job, I think it was 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. And the unique thing too that I want to point out about your job search is that the company you're working for was actually in Pennsylvania. You were located here in Nashville where I am. And they were just doing a reorg and reshift that it made more sense for you to stay in Nashville, not move to Pennsylvania. And you're fairly new to Nashville too. If I'm remembering this right, like you've lived in Nashville about what, year and a half, 2 years? Is that it or less than
less,
that?
A handful of months, really.
Okay. So I want to bring that out too, because that's really important to recognize that you had a job in another job market, another region of the country. You're in a brand new region and a new market where you don't really know anyone, and you still found a job within about 3 to 4 months, when the statistics would tell you that when you move to a new job market, it can take an average of 12 months to find a job. So kudos to you.
Well, I owe it more to you, and thank you for really helping me.
Well, no, you did the hard work in this. And right now the job market, right, it's super competitive. We have an average of 2 job recs open for every job seeker that's out there. And I don't know if you had time to think this through, but I want to just ask you these numbers and see if you know. But do you know how many applications you actually threw out there?
Well over 1,000.
Really?
Yeah, probably 1,000, 1,500, somewhere in there.
Okay.
1,000. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, man. I'm just like, we're a little speechless, right? Because of that. But that's, how many interviews did you have then?
I would say 40 to 50 solid interviews. Okay.
And do you remember how many rejections you got back?
More than I care to keep track of.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, the thing is that number, you know, well, was that number, let me ask you, that 1,000 number, was that before you engaged with Career Brand Story?
Good question. That was the entire process. So I was about a month in to the application process. And I would say it's probably 50-50.
Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I mean, I think that people have to realize that, you know, and we teach kind of this mixed methodology, right? Where we say, you know, apply for roles, but also really spend that time networking and finding those jobs. Again, back to your situation, what is unique is you're in a brand new job market and you don't know anyone. And so it takes time to really build that network and grow that network. So you're definitely going to probably rely a lot more heavily on, you know, applying to jobs while you now are in a good position to really build that network strong for the future of your career as well. So what do you believe was like the best career marketing strategy for you in this entire process?
Oh, there's so many. Honestly, it's hard to choose one. I would say understanding my professional attributes. There was a talents insight engagement exercise that I did pretty early on. I think with the introduction of your services, you were like, hey, this is a tool that's going to help me understand how to write and help you curate and deliver a message for most accurately representing who you are. And that was just really fun because like from the beginning, it was engaging and I learned a lot about myself. I actually told my mom about it. I was like, hey, these are things about me professionally that other people would notice that maybe I wouldn't have. So that helped me just learn how to communicate how I interact in a professional setting. I think you said it's kind of unnatural, like an interview process, like that's not a normal conversation that you have on a daily basis with anyone. So learning how to basically convey how you approach work, your style, your communication style, your learning tendencies, that goes a long way. So I would say that exercise really was invaluable.
Yeah. And actually we came back through that. We leveraged that talent insight assessment. It takes about 25 minutes online. It uses DISC as a science behind it. There's actually two assessments in one report that you get out of it. So it's a really valuable piece of information and data that we collect. And we use it in a lot of different ways in career coaching. And for you, you know, we were able to use it in a lot of those different ways. One of those was that we use it to help kind of answer personal brand questions, but we also used it, with mock interviewing. So that was one of the things that was kind of an add-on for you. You got the marketing documents done. You're out there working your referral network strategy, applying for jobs. But you came back and after a few interviews and you just said, I think I need some more confidence here. I need some help around this. And we came back to that same report and really talked about your communication style and then worked through some of that mock interviewing, which, you know, how did you feel that process was, even the mock interviewing? Do you feel like that really gave you a leg up in the interview process?
It totally revolutionized my interview process. I think I had three really good leads lined up. And the week before those interviews, you and I sat down and really hammered out, hey, here's what you're saying. Here's what I like about your delivery. Here's some things that you don't need to tell me. I don't need to know this part of your experience or what you think. This isn't as important. So let's extract that. And let's instead use this verbiage, use less ums, use more, you know, just certain mannerisms that I would kind of carry with me that, hey, we don't need that. And by no means that really just propelled me to the next level.
Yeah. So what would you do differently in a job search and interviewing if, you know, you're out there all of a sudden facing this again, which you're not. You're in a great new job and you're going to stay there for a while, right? But let's say that you have to do this all over again. What would be something you might do differently?
Don't make the full-time job search a full-time job. Mm. That was something, actually, I'd listened to your podcast because you turned me onto it once we started working together. And there was a portion of an episode where y'all talked about that. That's detrimental to the mindset that you need, the energy, the trajectory that you need it won't serve you well working a full-time job searching for that full-time job. And that carried over into other aspects of my life. It's just not healthy to be in that mindset every day. And just the key to everything is balance. So I think that's what I learned from my mistakes was, hey, this imbalance is carrying over to the interview process. And it's probably evident in my interviewing, like, man, this guy's like, he's blasting out resumes. He's just nonstop, and it's not serving him.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about that. Cause I think that as job seekers, you're in that mode of like, I've just got to find a job. Right. And so you go at it harder. But I think that, and then it wears you down, and then the rejections come that wear you down and discourage you. And then when you do get a job interview, I think, and maybe this is just my chair I'm sitting in and feeling and thinking this in my own past, but you know, I think that sometimes we get into that interview, we honestly feel desperate for the job. And then that desperation just kind of carries over, you know, like, and then everyone's kind of reading it like, you know, it's almost like dating. You don't want to date someone who's like desperate, right? You know, like, what's wrong with you is all these flags come up and there's like, nothing's wrong with me. I just want a job and I just want to pay my bills like any good American, right? So, I think that fatigue, we've talked about that interviewing fatigue. We've talked about that just job search fatigue is a real thing for a lot of people. So you don't have to give us a dollar amount, but did you see an increase in salary?
Yes. From my previous role to current, it was an 8% increase.
Okay. Good job. That is awesome. So over this entire process, what kept you motivated in your job search?
Well, I would say just my improvement from interview to interview. I would say I was noting questions that say, oh, that kind of caught me off guard. You even mentioned like, hey, what are some hangups in the interview process that you weren't prepared for? So just noting those and practicing them and noting where, you know, hey, this is a common theme. Maybe I'm getting hung up on this or that. And just realizing that progress from interview to interview, getting further in the process from, you know, hey, you're not getting a call back after the first round. Now I'm in second rounds. Now I'm in third and final rounds. That was what kept the steam going.
That's great. So in this new role that you've started, so what are you looking forward to the most in this new role?
I feel fortunate to be among the best and brightest at Vanderbilt. It's so encouraging working with the greatest team I could ask for, contributing to the greater mission that is delivering cutting edge medical research and technology to individuals, countless individuals across our population and beyond. I just feel like I'm making an impact positively on something that's greater than me and really just something that could change countless individuals' lives.
Yeah, you know, I've lived in here in Nashville for about a year and a half now. I go to Vanderbilt. I use their healthcare services. Again, I think I've remarked about this when you were interviewing for this position. We talked about it, but man, hands down, their customer service is at least my experience has been absolutely amazing. And even the surgery that I had just yesterday, I was listening to the front desk people, and it was the same with them. I mean, every single patient who came there got the same like awesome kind of like customer service. Is that something you've experienced in their onboarding?
Absolutely. Yeah, they go to great lengths to emphasize our credo and service. You know, we are servants of the people. We value that really above anything else because it all goes trickles down from there.
Yeah, I mean, it is evident. So I've also picked up, I'm binge watching the show New Amsterdam. I don't know if you guys have watched this show or not. But when I went to get my surgery yesterday, I stepped into the hospital, elevator. And I had that moment where I was realizing like, oh, I've been watching too much hospital drama, you know? you know, stepping into it. So I almost said something like, oh, do you guys watch New Amsterdam? And I thought they probably would be so annoyed with me asking that question right now. So, but yeah,
it's like going to Dr. Google.
Yeah, it really is. But Vanderbilt, I mean, that is, it's interesting to hear even in the onboarding and stuff, because it's something that they're doing right. And it really shines through. Lee, I'm so excited for you. It was such an honor and privilege to get to work with you and get to know you through this process. And I'm really excited just to continue to follow your career and to see where you go. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
It was a pleasure to be on your platform. Thanks for having me.
Ending March 2023, here are the career numbers that were coming out for unemployment benefits. They total 198,000, which was up by 7,000 from the previous period. And that was slightly higher than the estimated of 195,000 that was expected. The unemployment rate is predicted to rise to 4.5% of the end of the year. A lot of that has to do with how the Fed is handling inflation and raising rates. It's right now sitting at 3.6%. So to reach the level of 4.5%, there's a prediction that 540,000 plus more jobs would need to be lost. And honestly, I can see that every day happening on LinkedIn with lots of more layoffs. Experts are forecasting more relaxed hiring trends in the upcoming spring, which is here, and summer months, indicating that there may be less demand for new employees in the job market. So keep in mind that the job market geography is going to play a big part of this and impact others where others may not be impacted. So like right here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee region, we're actually expecting an incremental growth, nothing huge, but we're still expecting growth, mostly because all those Californians and New Yorkers are moving in, as the Nashville natives would say around here. So
is that what they say in your area? Around here, it's always like Ohio.
Yeah. Well,
when they get upset with people, it's
go back to Ohio. New York and Ohio. Here, it's Californians that are moving in. And in the community I live, Mount Juliet, oh my gosh, it's the same gripe and complain. When the city grows, everybody gets angry about it. So it's a great place to live. You should absolutely move here, by the way.
I have a feeling it would be just like where I am here. It's like this wave you see goes back and forth. Everybody's like, we need a TJ Maxx. And then we get a TJ Maxx and they're like, this small town is losing its small town feel with all these highfalutin TJ Maxx's coming in here.
That's exactly what it's like here. it was all farm and field and now it's not. And actually they just landed a deal for Costco to come to Mount Juliet.
Oh man.
Everyone's excited. And so on the forums, it was like, now we just need to get a roadhouse here. I don't know how Costco and Roadhouse go together, but apparently they do.
I admit to when we bought our house last week, guess where we celebrated? Texas Roadhouse.
Costco? Oh, I was like, what, Costco? The concession stand? Did you get a hot dog?
I wish.
At a Costco.
It's Have good.
At a Costco?
I mean, it's $1.50 hot dogs, right?
Yeah, they say.
I have eaten one.
I've not done that. So that's the only thing I'm really excited about is I want to try their hot dogs.
Yeah. I don't have a membership or anything, but you know, if I did, I'd probably just eat lunch there instead of Taco Bell and McDonald's and stuff.
Yeah. So all back to job growth, depending again on the region you're living in, you'll see some people will have opportunities for jobs and some people won't. But, you know, 540,000 jobs, that's still a lot of jobs to be lost in the job market. And definitely, like I said, I can go on my LinkedIn feed and I see that all the time of more and more people who said they've been laid off. So the impact is still happening. If anything, it does say how important it is to really have your career brand story together. And I know that I talked about Cake a couple of episodes back, but I kid you not, there was another person that came up in my newsfeed where a woman baked a hire me cake for a job interview.
Oh, she tried to follow the trend.
Yeah. So I think it was on episode 41 where I mentioned the woman who copied her resume, literally copied her resume on a sheet cake and sent it to a company. And so I don't know, maybe it was because of the advice we gave on this podcast that another woman baked and she put in icing, hire me on it. And she took it to the job interview. This is, her name was Danielle. She was a hairstylist for 5 years before taking a year off and was now back on the job hunt. And aware of how grueling the job search and hiring process can be, she made sure that she came prepared after a salon owner called her in for an interview. And in a TikTok video that's been viewed over 4 million times, Daniel shared her genius idea to convince the owner to give her a chance. Now, unfortunately, in another follow-up video, Danielle shared that she did not get the job. The salon owner notified her by email saying, at this time, we are going to go in a different direction. Your work is absolutely stunning, and I feel like you would find a salon better fit for your work to stand out and shine. I'll keep your resume on file for future reference. And here's the part I really love, Jeb. So while she accepted the no as the answer, Danielle did ask if she could have the plate that she delivered the cake back.
Man, this is a lot to break down. Yeah, from here. I don't even know if we want to get into it, but there's a lot going on here.
But, you know, so I don't know. The reason I bring this up again is not because I love cake, but I do love cake. I baked a cake this week. But I bring this up because it's creative marketing strategy, right? It's simple. And I see a lot of this on LinkedIn posts, and it starts this way. I've been searching for 2 months. I've been searching for 5 months. I've sent out 105 applications, or as we've heard from Lee, he sent out 1,500 applications, you know, that's and then lot. Zero interviews. You know, that's what a lot of these posts on LinkedIn are like. And I've had zero interviews. And then they'll go on and they'll say, like, I literally copied this one down. I'm reading this verbatim. Can't lie, this sucks. And this is hard for me to be this vulnerable on a work and achievement-based platform. So I'll ask one more time for any leads, any connections, any coffee chats that can help me. And I see those posts. And a lot of those posts get a lot of attention. They get a lot of likes. But I actually, in this particular one, I even read through the comments. And a lot of the comments were like, you know, advice on how she might change her job search and need to do things. It was less about let me, like, you know, because honestly, when you look back at this, someone who sent 105 applications and zero interviews, as a recruiter, I'm thinking, well, there's something wrong there, right? There's something wrong with your resume. There's something wrong with your work. You know, you're not communicating something that needs to communicate to land interviews and to win the job. And so, you know, for me, you know, while yes, you need a good resume, you need a good LinkedIn, you know, profile, you need a good story pitch, and making sure that you have that marketing put together and can clearly, you know, communicate a really strong career brand story. All those things are important. You know, I also think about, okay, but let's also talk about, and I spend a lot of time talking to my clients outside of just putting those kind of standard, what I consider the standard marketing documents that you just need if you're going to go search for a job. Those are the things that you need. But I spend a lot of time talking about the marketing strategy, you know, and you've got to like be more creative about that, you know. And I'm not, I guess what I'm trying to say in a PC way, I don't know that putting a post out there that I just got laid off, or that I've been out here searching with zero luck, presents the best personal brand. That's my gut feel about all of that. I'm not a big fan of the hashtag open to work either. What do you think, Jeb?
So all right, question just for clarity here, is the person who wrote this the same, is this Danielle, the cake woman?
No,
this is somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Danielle did go on to get a job, by the way.
I'm glad. Yes. I mean, all right. So I want to back it up a little bit to Danielle. So when we talked about the other one and it being like a creative approach to putting, you know, putting the resume on the cake, I thought, yeah, that's novel. That's fun. It's enjoyable for the people who receive it. But that wasn't her interview. That was a delivery of a cake, right?
That is correct. Yes.
And to bring a cake that just says hire me to an interview, I feel like that looks a little bit desperate. I think there's some nuance between these things. One was like a receiving a surprise promotional item that's fun and catches your attention, but you already got the interview. I don't think you need, like, if you want to bring a leave behind, sure, bring a cake, but maybe don't write hire me on it. I think that comes off as a little much. I got to say, if you deliver it, expect to never see your plate again. Just go buy a different plate and don't ask for it back. That's my thought.
You know, for me, at that point, it's going to come down. Did you get the flavor of cake right for me? I mean,
wow. Cake elitist here.
Yeah. You come in with a yellow cake and chocolate icing. I'm not going to hire you. I don't care who you are.
But as we talked about in that episode, there's family history there. There's deep trauma related to yellow cake.
I gotta go work on my inner child now with that one.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that is interesting, right? There's kind of this fine line between, like, I mean, I guess you could say that with all marketing though, right?
Oh,
I mean,
any absolutely.
Business out there. Yeah. I remember back in the day, do you remember the store service merchandise?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so service merchandise, this will make me sound like really old, but we
were kids of the 80s.
Yeah, we bought our wedding rings at service merchandise. And service merchandise, for those Gen Zers out here who never got to experience it, you would like walk through kind of a showcase of a store, and then you would like pick out like a sticker or a tag. And you would pay for it, and then it would come down through a conveyor belt to you.
Yeah, it's kind of like IKEA, except for when you get to the end, they would do the work of getting it from the warehouse instead of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was kind of a unique experience. When service merchandise, and it was when I was in college, and I think this might be why we got our wedding rings there. They were going out of business. And so we got like a really good deal on wedding rings. We were poor college students who could barely afford anything. And but I remember they came out with a jingle, a commercial jingle. And it was just like if you could tell a company was desperate and going south, like I still remember it to this day. The very end of the jingle was like, and this is service merchandise. Like it was like just this like horrible like end of the times.
It went down,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, well, that's desperate, you know. So
I was gonna say
all
was
that
it in a minor key and
I think it was. It was really bad. And I just think about that though, because there is kind of this fine line in marketing, on all marketing, of whether or not like are you doing something that's really attracting and gaining attention, or are you doing something that just comes across kind of desperate and, you know, hopeful that, well, please, 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 for the love of God, please buy our product.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, it's easy for us to sit here and pick this stuff apart. Like, I still give kudos to Danielle for doing something different. You know, but that's going to be the truth for everything, right? Some people are absolutely appalled by McDonald's. Some people see it for what it is. And are like, yeah, I'm going to go eat some garbage and enjoy it because it's tasty. So it's easy to sit, you know, we can sit back and say, well, that marketing doesn't land or that marketing lands. It is just so nuanced. There's so much that goes into, you know, knowing your market. For me, that cake thing was really just about like writing hire me on it after you're already going, like you're going to the interview. That's where I would maybe, if I were going to bring in a sweet edible, just bring in like a dozen cookies from the local bakery or something and not write hire me, just as a, hey, thanks for your time. But then on to this next person talking about, you know, making a post that says can't lie, this sucks and it's hard and all that. Like, you know, you can appreciate the vulnerability, but nobody's out there thinking, you know, it would be great not being able to find a job when you want one.
Right.
So I kind of think this is in the area of desperate and not showing a lot of emotional maturity, knowing the space that you're in. Like, it's not Facebook. I don't want people to post that on Facebook either, but there's a reason people have like revolted against Facebook in the past 5 to 10 years is they're tired of just seeing it as a whining, divisive platform. And to put something like that on LinkedIn, it's just not, it goes back to me. Every time I post something, I try to ask myself, why am I posting this? What is the purpose of a post that I'm making? And usually it comes back to, because I only post stuff about the work I do, it's about brand awareness. But if I have the impulse to go post on social media about how much something sucks, I usually am able to stop myself and say, what's the point? There's no good in this. If I want attention, I can just go, you know, to where I know people are going to be happy to see me. I don't need to go
right
air all of my horrible feelings online. So yeah, I agree with the comments and the people who were kind of saying like, this isn't too cool.
Yeah, I just think that when you're posting it and you're acknowledging that what you're doing is obviously not working. But I also think on LinkedIn, so many people have posted this the response is that it's because the recruitment process is broken, right? And mm-hmm. it's the recruiters and all of that. Well, I'm a recruiter. I can tell you that I don't think the process is actually all that broken. There's an amount of just mass volume that can come at you when you're searching for people and looking for jobs. I mean, at the end of the day, only one person is going to get the job. And so, yeah, I guess I look at it more that way, that it's like, it's victim blaming. Is that the right thing? You know, not victim blaming or playing the victim, you know, like,
yeah,
this is what I'm trying to say, you know, and I'm thinking, well, no, if that's the results and nothing's happening, then you've got to change strategy. Bottom line.
Right. Right. You got to change strategy. We also don't know. What did she say? Did she say how many jobs she's applied to? I think you mentioned something like that.
She applied 105.
Okay.
With zero interviews.
That's a lot.
Significant. Yeah.
So she's at least she's playing the numbers game. Like, she realizes to some degree that you just have to send tons and tons out, I guess, from a marketing standpoint. But yeah, you're right. If you're not hearing anything,
I mean, I would immediately say there's something wrong with her resume. And or she's also applying for jobs that she shouldn't be applying to.
Yeah.
That would be my first two things, right? You know, right. So I don't know. I just I'm not a huge fan of seeing that. I honestly skip through them pretty quickly because I just don't understand what it's actually doing and who it's even hitting. It just seems like you're just throwing something out there and just hoping, for the love of God, something will just stick. And I think that's a really bad approach. Where I think that, again, having a really good career marketing strategy, you know, in place, you know, is much more important. So I want to just give 5 simple ways that doesn't involve baking something. All right. So
okay.
You don't have to bake anything.
Sounds good. But
these are just baking. 5 ideas. All 5 ideas I have used in my own job searches in the past and have had success with each one of these in one sense or another. And I have recommended these to clients and seen them use these successfully as well. So here's the first one: pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah.
It's the oldest tool that we have. And I realize that a lot of people don't pick up the phone today if they don't recognize a phone number, but there are people out there and there are businesses out there who will pick up the phone when the phone rings.
I cannot tell you how many times people who call me turn into customers just because I answered the phone. And I don't even answer all the time. I'm not as good at it as I used to be.
But I never still answer when I call.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
That's not true. I answer the phone a lot when you call.
You usually answer.
Yeah. But for numbers I don't recognize, let's say that. If I see it says Jeremy Tudor, it's instant decline. But for numbers I don't recognize, I often answer them. Even though everything in me is telling me this is a, you know, this is just more spam. It's another robocall. But answering the phone and the people on the other end almost always say, oh my gosh, you answered.
Yeah.
Wow, you actually answered. Or wow, if I didn't answer, wow, thanks for calling me back. I've called six people and nobody has responded to me. And yeah, pick up the phone. And if you are on the side of, you know, needing to be the person that picks up the phone, please pick up the phone. What if the recruiter's calling you back and they're just moving on to the next one?
I typically pick up the phone and unless I really don't recognize the number, you know, will I not pick it up? So I'm sure there's probably some past client being like, I called you and you never picked up. Well, I'm probably talking to somebody, but my habit is usually to pick up the phone.
I'd say even if I don't recognize the number, even if you don't recognize it, pick it up. Cause all it takes, you don't have to be rude to the people who are, you know, when it is a spam call, you can just say, I'm not interested. Thank you. And hang up. But
absolutely. Yeah. The number two way that I would utilize in a career marketing strategy is ask for an information interview. I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with this, but just because a company doesn't have a job opportunity that they're advertising or posting doesn't mean that you still can't have an interview with the company. So if you really like the company, you like what they stand for, you like what they do, and you think, gosh, one day I'd really love to work there, then call somebody up or email, you know, and just say, hey, I'm really interested in your company. I'd like to find out more, and just ask for an information interview. It's not about getting a job. It's just about finding out more about them as a company. But here's what happens in the process. You're going to have your market ready resume to give to them, right? Because they're going to think, why should I have an information interview? And then they're going to have that market ready resume in their hand. And now you've created a relationship, you're building the network with them. And so if a job opportunity does come up, or they start talking about, you know, hey, we really do need someone over here, guess what? They're going to have your resume in front of them. They're going to have that interaction and that network connection.
That's really interesting. I've never heard of that. I've never thought of that. Is like, that's a thing? People do that?
It's 100% a thing. It works really well, especially if you are an early grad, you know, you just graduated from school. You know, so if you've just graduated with your master's or your undergrad work, you know, I really encourage clients all the time to like leverage that and say, hey, I just graduated. I'm just getting my career started. I would love to have an information interview just to talk and kind of pick your brain, talk about how you got where you are in your career. I mean, look for people who are people that you want to be like in whatever career track you're in. Look at people in the company who are more like senior level and like actual decision makers. So like in this instance, I would go after very senior leaders, like a president, a CEO or a CFO. My son, who is in freshman at a university, was doing a business project this year. And he used that strategy. He got onto LinkedIn. He found out, well, he actually asked me, he said, who should I talk to in this company about their operations strategy? And I said, well, you probably want to talk to the CFO or COO. And sure enough, he found the guy, emailed him. And the guy said, yeah, I'd love to talk to you. He was a little unclear about times. And so I said, well, just give him a call. He gave him a call. And he happened to be towards the end of the day getting in his car. And he was like, no, this is the perfect time to talk. Let's do it. And he got all this information And in fact, my son now has this network now with a CFO in a major company in Nashville that he could send his resume off for an internship.
That's great. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it works. So do an information interview.
On that same topic, something I learned, I'll have to find the book title and get back to it in the next episode or something, but it was a negotiation book. And it talked about the language of asking that question. And just a tip is to ask, is this a good time? Don't ask if this is a bad time.
Oh, that's interesting. I always say a good time. I don't know why.
I'm always up for a good time. So I'm glad.
Yeah, that's right. Number three, create a short form video, which here at Career Brand Story, we call your virtual story. And so this is just a short form video, no longer than like 2 to 3 minutes, explaining where you are today, where you're trying to go tomorrow, and really just is an introduction video so that people can see you, hear you, and feel your energy. And anyone can do that with phones and cameras today. If you want something that's really, really good and really, really works, then you should see us. Because we create that. We just had a client actually this week email us at just landed a new job, and he talked about how his virtual story was a real help in that process. So that is something that absolutely works.
That's awesome.
Number four, write a white paper as a subject matter expert. So I actually did this when I was the director of recruiting for Special Olympics World Games in 2015. When that project ended, I sat down and I put everything together of what we did from the start to the beginning. And I wrote a 3-page white paper and I published it on LinkedIn. I used that white paper then when I applied to jobs along with my resume, instead of submitting a cover letter, which you shouldn't do, please burn those, as a career marketing strategy. Instead, I submitted that white paper. And when I became the talent acquisition manager for the state of North Carolina, when I went into that interview, the hiring managers had my resume, and guess what else they had sitting right there with them? The white paper.
White paper.
Yeah. So that's a really great way to be able to, showcase your expertise. And companies use white papers all the time, especially businesses that are trying to attract. This is used a lot in B2B business, but they'll put a white paper out there. You'll see like a lot of times kind of at the end of the year, beginning of the year, you see a lot of like, here's the trends for 2023 in marketing. Here's the hiring trends. Here's what's going to 20 things that are going to change in HR this year. So you see a lot of that. That's a white paper, and you go sign up for it, right? They get your email address. This is what the company is doing. They give you the free white paper, a valuable piece of information that you can use that's kind of helpful to you. But then they're doing lead generation. They're capturing that for a company, or they're probably going to sell your email to other companies out there that would be interested in targeting you. So take that strategy and now use it for yourself.
That's a good one. I've never written one. I've read quite a few, though.
You should write one.
I should.
Yeah. Number five, write an article on LinkedIn. I cannot tell you how easy it is to write an article on LinkedIn. And it doesn't have to be a lengthy article. And Jeb, you and I have talked a lot of times about this. It's Seth Godin.
Seth Godin.
Seth Godin writes a very short blog post. Like that's the articles like that you could write on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
They're like maybe every day. A paragraph, two paragraphs long, and that's it. That's all they are. And one time when I was unemployed, it's actually how I really kind of even started down this path of career marketing and ended up starting my own business and Career Brand Story. Before I did any of that, I went to WordPress and I just started blogging every day, very short pieces. What I kept in mind was like, okay, if someone was sitting, it's going to sound kind of crass, but if they were sitting going to the bathroom, like how quickly would they read this? And so I kind of made sure that they were about 12 or 15 second easy reads on career stuff. And it started helping people, and people were like, oh, this is really helpful. Please write more, which kind of led into my thing. But it's a great way just to put your expertise out there and not only that, but because you're posting it on LinkedIn, right, you're playing into their algorithm and getting traction as well. So it's a really good thing. Now, if you're like on the IT side, like in software development or something, this was a great strategy that a client was doing. They engaged in our process, but what they were already doing, and I kept them, and I said, you need to keep doing this. There was like some type of like 100 day of coding. So every day they did a little bit of coding. And what he was doing is he would do the coding and then he would publish it. He would post it on LinkedIn. And he gained an extraordinary amount of attention by doing that. So again, it's very simple. It doesn't take that long to either post an article or to do something like that. But it's the consistency of doing it every day that, you know, helps you kind of gain the right people to be looking at you.
Yeah. And I have to think too that in the coding example, the 100 days of coding, I think I've heard of that before. I think it's a thing, and maybe not just his thing, but you know, if you were going to do a series, I would maybe mention that, like my 12-part series of about whatever, because then you're also creating some anticipation, giving people something to look forward to engage with you each day.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's why we do the podcast, right? And we've talked about this. It's, I mean, we believe that every podcast show that we deliver you is with the finest of excellence that Jeb and I can bring to you. But we recognize, is every podcast equally, you know, great? In our minds, yes. But
no,
but
we can, maybe in your mind.
No, they're pretty great. But I can recognize that maybe sometimes we don't always hit the mark and we can do better. But what Jeb has always said to me, right, it's that cumulative effect, right? If people seeing that, oh, this guy has a lot of content, he must know what he's talking about. He must be an expert at what he does, right? And so it's not about whether or not you just started 5 days ago. It's whether or not you have 5, 10, 15 things that people can consume.
Yeah. And we're in no way saying be a fraud and don't, you know, we're not saying if you start a podcast and you make a post every day and all that stuff, you can make people believe that you're something you're not. It's more like it's really hard to get seen these days. You can be in the middle of a crowd screaming and you are not going to be seen. So all of these things are just helping you broadcast what you are good at and what you can do. So yes, please don't think that we're just saying, hey, go out there and make some posts on LinkedIn to add noise to the world. No, we encourage adding signal to the world. But you need to add it in a lot of places for people to start picking up on it and for people to start realizing, oh, this person actually knows what they're talking about.
Yes. And speaking of being a fraud, such a great segue to a new segment that I'd like to call This is Absurd. All right. So I was driving down somewhere the other day and I saw something. I was like, oh gosh, that is so absurd that they're doing that. I've got to share that with Jeb. And so this is why I'm calling this segment. Every once in a while, when I come across something that I think is just absurd, you know, I'm gonna bring it up in this segment. But this is something not to do. So there was a candidate who used ChatGPT for their resume. So actually, I have no problem there. Okay. You can do that. Except that they admitted that they stretched the truth, making their experiences seem more impressive than they actually were. In other words, you lied on your resume. You cannot do that. So a language model like ChatGPT, which is more formally known as a generative pre-trained transformer, that's what the GPT stand for. It takes in the current conversation. It forms a probability of all the words in its vocabulary given in that conversation, and then it chooses one of them as the likely next word, and then it does it again and again and again and again until it stops, all right? That's how that system language AI system works. So it doesn't necessarily have the facts per se, unless you put in facts. It just knows what words should come next. So put it another way, ChatGPT doesn't try to write sentences that are true, but it does try to write sentences that are plausible. All right. So you can't just put in, you know, write me a resume in ChatGPT, take that, copy and paste it, and go, well, I'm done, because it will not represent you. Okay. You can use it to help you make it the grammar sound good, to maybe form it right. You can use it. I like to use it from a keyword standpoint. I like to take a job description and say, hey, pull out all the hard skill sets. And then I take those hard skill sets and I say, okay, let's integrate these hard skill sets into the resume. That's a great way to use that tool. All right. Yeah. But not creating things that are not true, that you can't speak to on your resume, is going to get you in trouble. So if that wasn't bad enough, this person then goes into the interview and the candidate goes on to use ChatGPT. As the questions are being answered in a virtual interview, they type in the questions to get answers back. And that is absolutely absurd.
That's absurd.
Like, why would you do that?
Well, do we know what the result was? Did it go anywhere?
You know, I don't remember. I was just so ticked off by what I was reading that someone would actually do that I kind of stopped. Because your resume and your interview answers need to be your results, your challenges, your actions that you took, and the real results that you got from it. Bottom line, it's the problem with resume writing in general anyways, because this whole myth, I mean, you can go Google this and people will say, oh, go to forget the AI tool for a minute. People will go out there, they go and they'll look at the job description, and the advice is, and this is true advice that sits out here that is so completely wrong. They'll tell them to go take that job description and then make that be your resume. And so many people do that. And so as a recruiter, I read hundreds of resumes that read just like a job description. What I need to know is what makes you stand out. What results did you accomplish and do? You can look at that job description. You can capture language. You can capture hard skills. But at the end of the day, I've got to know what you did, what you bring to the business table for me to actually push you through to the next step.
Yeah, it makes me think of, all right, so for example, I'm writing a proposal right now for a client. They are a client, but they need a new proposal for a new thing, right? And yeah. I create a treatment. And a treatment is a visual representation of both my understanding of the brief, or in this situation, the job description, as well as it shows how I will execute on that. And so how it relates to this is that it's fine, like you're saying, it's fine to say, use language that shows that you understand the job description. But they want to know what you bring to the job description. What are your skills and talents combined together that are going to help them with their goals, with the company's goals?
The value proposition, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just tick boxes. Because I mean, yeah, and that's what I do.
And the value proposition has to differentiate you from your competitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could go with 5 photographers, but you've got to stand out amongst the 5. There has to be something that's different about you from the other 4 that are like pitching for the job. And the same thing is with any job that you go out there and apply for. You have to differentiate yourself. Why are you different? Why are you the better candidate out of the other 4 that are applying? And if you just check a box and just kind of fill in stuff verbatim and you don't differentiate yourself, well, you're going to get lost in a sea of resumes or just completely out and out rejected every single time.
Yeah. And I could see somebody sitting here thinking like, okay, great. Differentiate myself. How do I know what the other person's doing? And the answer is you don't, unless you've got right. some, you know, unethical inside track or something. right. But you don't know what the other person's doing. So
they're all bringing cakes.
yeah, they're all bringing cakes. So to me, and this may be different in the resume world, but in the imaging world, to me, it's not that I'm writing on my treatment, I'm better than the other person or trying to tear any other person down. It's just simply, it's too strong to say bearing my soul, but it's like, I am just showing you what I would do and I hope you like it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. We weren't the right fit.
Right.
On to the next one.
Right.
And yeah. so that's where the honesty comes in. It's like, don't worry about what the other person's doing and don't worry about bringing them down. I never bring them down. Don't go negative. Just put out there what you're doing. The real thing.
Yeah. Well, because you want people to accept you for you too. And so if it's not for them, then it doesn't matter how hard you make it work. It usually isn't going to work very well, you know?
Yeah.
So I've turned down people that I don't think were going to be the right fit, you know? I've personally fired some clients in the process and said, hey, this is not going to continue to be a good fit for you or I, you know?
Yeah.
Those are always harder once we've engaged in the process, but I recognize that it's better to say it sooner than later, you know, in that whole situation. So yeah. I, you know, don't go using it, you know, it's like, just don't take, you can't take the, I think if we go back to this beginning of this podcast, even with Lee and what he was saying was like, and I've said this on a previous podcast is like, none of this stuff is a magic bullet. And, you know, in his phrase, it's like, it takes work. It's like there is a certain amount of energy that you have to put in all of this, and it is hard work. But if you stay diligent to it and you've done the right things, the payoff is going to be really good at the end.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He was talking about the change that it made to do the mock interview. And while of course, we're going to promote Career Brand Story, the business and the services you offer. But the very like general root of what the mock interview is practice.
Yeah.
And you know, actually, what do we all know? We are supposed to practice everything we do. Practice makes perfect.
And if y'all could supposedly. Have sat with Lee in the first mock interviewing to even today, how he interviewed today is night and day difference. I'm so proud of him. I mean, it's just amazing the difference in talking to someone who just was missing confidence to this guy who's came across right and has all the confidence in the world of what he's doing. It's totally amazing. But it took work. It took effort and work to do that. So just don't go and do absurd things and try to take the easy way out is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So, hey, and you know what the key differentiator is from Career Brand Story and all the other resume writers and career coaches out there? We're a marketing firm that helps job seekers market themselves in today's job market. That's right. And all of our best Career Brand Story packages are back. I want to remark right now, the Trailblazer is valued at $595 and I have it on sale for $259. Why am I doing that? Why am I offering 56% off right now on a really good deal? Here's the deal. I know that a lot of people are dealing with layoffs. I know the panic that sets in with that. And your first thought is, oh my gosh, I just need a resume. I just need my LinkedIn updated. We want to help you do that. All right. Now, I know from my experience, and I think you could hear from Lee's story and from other of our clients' stories, that isn't going to be enough, but I'll at least get you started. And then once you've kind of calmed down and you've got a little bit of like, okay, not everything's going to fall down around me, you realize and you know that there's additional resources and help that we can give you, that my team is ready to be able to help you with. We've helped thousands of people thrive in their life and do what they love. And I want to help you get started today. go to careerbrandstory.com and you can book your package and sign up today, and we will get started on the project for you. You can find us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook at Career Brand Story. And while many of you do listen to this podcast, because that is what a podcast is for, you can also watch each episode on the YouTube. We would really love it if you would subscribe to that channel. We don't push that hardly enough, but we would really, really love it if you would just subscribe to it. We're going to deliver you great content, so it's not going to be a bad subscription for you to have. Just search Career Brand Story to find us on there. And Jeb, where can everybody find you?
As always, you can find me everywhere. All my social media handles are the same thing. It's at Jeb Graff, JEBBGRAFF. And my website is jebgraff.com. There you can find examples of my work, my portfolio, my why. Why do I do the work I do? What do I love about the work I do? And how do I do it? And I also want to point out two little things here. If you've been listening to this podcast, this is episode 43. That last paragraph that Jeremy always reads has gotten better and better because he's practiced it 42 times at least before this episode. That makes 43. I would also add, there was something I was going to add, but now I know what it was. The ask for the YouTube subscribe. In case you're not like into how all this works, similar to what I was saying a minute ago about broadcasting your message and getting it out there. If you subscribe on YouTube and you subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever it is that you want to subscribe, and then you don't listen to us or watch us, that's okay. I think you're making a poor choice if you don't listen or watch. But the point is that the subscribes help other people who would gain from us find us, because people talk about the recruitment system being broken. Let's talk about algorithm generation. That's broken because that just gives the louder voices that already have more people more room. And so we could be delivering really helpful content to people, which I think we are, but people aren't finding it because we only have like 30 subscribers or something. So that is the end of my telethon. I appreciate your support, and I hope that you will subscribe to us and like us and all that fun stuff everywhere that you can possibly do it. And if you don't, at least just tell somebody you know who you think would benefit from listening in.
And the commitment to excellence, I said the word salon and absurd right.
But except for just then, you said absurd.
Thanks for listening. Keep thriving.
Oh, good job.